Yesterday, at the conclusion of the talk, Sarah promised to explain to you these two kinds of pleasures, sukha, namely vidita sukha and avidita sukha, or santisukha. Pleasures perceived through the six sense objects are called vidita sukha, and we translate it as sensate pleasure, pleasures perceived through the senses. And the other one is the kind of pleasures not perceived through the six senses or sense objects. This is known as avidita sukha, the opposite of vidya sukha, non-sensate pleasure, or santisukha, pleasure of peace. Now, as regards the first one, sensate pleasure, vidya sukha, this is the kind of pleasure which is enjoyed by most people in the world. Enjoying good sense objects. There are six sense objects. Whenever one comes into contact with desirable objects, then one would enjoy it. Like seeing a desirable visible object with the eye, hearing a sweet sound of voice with your ear, tasting good taste with your tongue, smelling good smell, sweet smell with your nose, contacting, or coming into contact with good tangible objects with your body sensitivity. And whenever you have fantasies, like good ideas and thoughts, you think about them as this enters your heart base. There's a saying, Asa, Pichya, Virana. These are the contexts. That is the contact between these three things, namely the object, do, and the consciousness. When the three come into contact, for instance, when the visible object impinges your eye do, causing seeing consciousness, the three are known in one state as contact. In Pali it is called pasa. And it is said as parina. With contact as condition, there arises feeling or sensation. So in the eye-do, this visible object impinges your eye-do, giving rise to hearing consciousness. And the voice or sound impinges your ear too, causing hearing consciousness. All these contexts of these pairs of three make up pasa contact. The same thing goes with nose do, tongue do, mind do, and so on. When the body comes into contact with desirable tangible objects, when you want a warm, tangible object, you come into contact with tangible object, in this case, warm. You warm with that, or warm things, warm clothes. Or you want something cool, you come into contact, or you allow things to come into contact, things which are cool, like cool air and so on. It comes into contact with the tangible part of the body. That also causes body consciousness. The three make up pasa contact, in this case body contact. And when you have good ideas, desirable ideas and thoughts, especially for those who are prone to fantasies, then you think about it, and this thinking consciousness and coming into the ideas and thoughts impinging your mind door, we call it heart base, giving rise to thoughts and ideas. These three make up pasa, in this case, a mental contact. So in this way, these things happen. Contact, as you understand now, which is known in Pali as pasa, and it is said pasa pachya virana. Contact, with contact as condition, there are feeling or sensations. So, in this way, when you come into contact with good objects, being in the respective dual, you enjoy such pleasures. These are the pleasures of senses or blue senses, any of the six senses, such as virita sukha. And you come when you come into contact with desirable, interesting objects, you enjoy such senses, enjoy these things, you enjoy these pleasures. And such pleasures are known as virida sukha, sensate pleasure. That means pleasures perceived through any of the six senses. So most people enjoy such pleasures, or most people go in pursuit of such sensual pleasures. And the reverse of that is avedita sukha, non-sensate pleasure. It is the kind of pleasure not perceived through any of the six sense objects or six sense doors. It has the sense of peace, feeling of peace. There's no object which comes into contact, you don't come into contact with any sense object. Hence it is peaceful, hence it is known as Santi Sukha. That means this non-sensate pleasure, Avedita Sukha, is called in another sense, Santi Sukha, of peace, of bliss, of peace. In this way, we have these two kinds of pleasures. As for the second kind of pleasure, non-sensate pleasure or pleasure of peace, is something which cannot be realized within a mundane or worldly consciousness or worldly means. It cannot be realized, cannot be experienced by worldly means. It can only be realized with the path and its fruit, by being able to experience by oneself, Vishaka Siddha, that is accomplishing through one's own experience, or experiential accomplishment, or experiential knowledge. Only when one becomes Ariya, the Noble One, will one be able to understand or enjoy of experience this kind of pleasure. That is the second kind of pleasure, avidita sukha, non-sensate pleasure. Now, it also is not easy at the same time to infer, to understand it through inference or deduction. We mean the second kind of pleasure, avidita sukha. It's not easy to understand it. Let us say, when we are hearing something, there is the ear, dome, or sensitive part of the ear, and there is a sound, a voice, which impinges your ear dome. And if there is no hindrance in between, there's no wall or something to hinder it, to prevent it, and there is space only. And if you pay attention, manasikara, then when these four things, four conditions are fulfilled, you are bound to hear the sound of the voice. You repeat it. The four things are the ear sensitivity, the sound of voice, and lack of absence of hindrance and mental advertence or attention. When these four things are fulfilled, then you're bound to hear the sound of the voice. And if these four things are fulfilled, nobody can prevent you from hearing the sound. And if these four things are not fulfilled, you will not hear any sound of voice. Such is known as Pachaka Siddha. You are experiencing it. You are knowing it, realizing it through your own personal experience. And this in Pali is known as Pachaka Siddha. accomplished experientially. So it is easily experienced by all beings. And just as you are hearing a voice in the present, that is Pichaka Sutta, experiential knowledge, you can deduce or infer that in the past also, when these four conditions are fulfilled, you are bound to hear the voice of the sound. Such is understanding it through deduction or inference, known as anumana siddha, accomplishing through inference or deduction. But here again, only when one can understand through pichaka siddha, spiritual knowledge, will one be able to deduce or infer this inferential knowledge. Anumana siddha. And also, as much as in the present this can be hard, in the past also such things could happen, that if these four things are fulfilled, in the past also you could have had this. And the same thing goes in the future. In the future also, although you are not experiencing it at the present time, right now, you can deduce or infer that in future, when these four conditions are fulfilled, you are bound to hear the voice of the sound. That again is anumana siddha, inferential knowledge, or inferential accomplishment. And also, as much as you can deduce that you can hear when these four conditions are fulfilled in yourself, you can also deduce that other people also will experience similarly if these four things are conditioned. That also is anumana siddha. In this way, this same thing is true with other sense impression, such as seeing, tasting, smelling, touching, thinking. From pichaka siddha, experiential knowledge, you can deduce to realize anumana siddha, inferential knowledge. This is, again, this happens when things are within your reach, within the reach of your knowledge. There are things which are beyond the reach of your knowledge, beyond the reach of your intellect, and known as ukapana siddha. This is something which you can also accomplish through faith and confidence, things which are beyond your intellect. So this can be accomplished only with faith and confidence, neither with experiential knowledge, neither through experience nor inference. For example, paraloka in Pali. Paraloka means other world. There are other worlds besides human being. There are the jiva world, there are the brahma world, and so on. And if one commits unwholesome deeds, one is bound to suffer a state of loss, suffer in a state of loss. Such things are known as other worlds, paraloka. And belief in this thing also is not possible unless you have faith and confidence. Because you are not experiencing it, neither can you draw deduction or inference about it. It's not possible to understand through pichaka siddha or anumana siddha, through experiential knowledge nor inferential knowledge. So also nibbana, which is a cessation of suffering of mind and body, it is which can only be realized or understood with the path and its fruit. So they are neither experienced nor inferred or deduced. Neither pichaka siddha nor that means understanding of nibbana cannot be accomplished through your own experience as such by worldly means, nor you can deduce or make inference what nibbana would be like through inferential knowledge, anumana siddha. This is something beyond your intellect or beyond your reach. This can only be accomplished through faith and confidence in the Buddha, because the Buddha has preached the existence of nibbana. And as much as you have faith and confidence in the other teachings of the Buddha, by your own experience, you can deduce that what the Buddha said about Nibbana must be true, that there is such a thing as cessation of suffering of mind and body called Nibbana, through Hokkaphana Siddha, that means through accomplishment, through accomplishment by faith, such as known as Hokkaphana Siddha. And because you are believing it, believing the thing which is worthy of faith, and it is also known as Saddhaya Siddha. Saddhaya means worthy of faith, because you are accomplishing through believing in something which is worthy of faith. Hence, this kind of accomplishment is known as Hokkaphana Siddha or Saddhaya Siddha, accomplishing through faith and confidence. So one cannot experience this by physical siddha. It is difficult to convince what this nibbana is like unless one has experienced it by himself or herself. Only when one experiences by oneself will one be able to understand what it is like to see or realize Nibbana. So I would like to say a story in order to exemplify it. At one time in a village, there are two sisters. The younger sister was married and the elder was not. One day when the two met, the elder sister who was not married asked the younger one, "How is it like to be married in married life? What is it like, a married life? So the younger sister said, "Well, you should get married yourself. Then you will understand it." That was the answer given. So unless you become a noble one yourself, Ariya, having seen the Nibbana, then you will not be able to understand what Nibbana is like. You have to undertake your practice by yourself to realize it, then only to be able to understand what Nibbana is like. That is Nibbana, which is avidita sukha, non-sensory pleasure, or pleasure of peace, santi sukha, free of impurities. Because it is free of impurities and free of suffering, this can only be seen by a mind, a consciousness, which is pure and free of suffering. So one has got to practice in order to overcome or to eradicate all these impurities and all these undermining elements by guarding the mind with vigilant mindfulness of every arising, seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, and so on, every object which impinges your six sense doors. So that when you are looking like this, there will be no likes or dislikes about desirable or undesirable objects. And then, because you're noting with application of sustained mindfulness, you're bound to see the true nature of the objects noted, beginning with the discernment of mind and body and the conditionality. And later, seeing the universal interlocking characteristics of impermanence and so on, then you will become clear about the object. If you're not mindful in this way and know the nature of objects, there will be likes and dislikes about the object. And if you're not noting the objects effectively, if you miss them or lose them, then there will be delusion, you become deluded. Because you're not knowing it. Not knowing means you get deluded. Your lacking in clarity of mind. Or we call it ignorance. There are two kinds of ignorance, not knowing the truth, knowing in the wrong way. And this is very tormenting. They are tormenting elements, undermining elements, which lead to suffering, which are impurities. So you are practicing in order to overcome these things, that is impurities and undermining elements. First on a part-time basis, then building up momentum. When you come to consummation of the practice, you come to see with your pure mind the path and the fruit, this avidita sukha of Sadisuka, non-sensate pleasure, or pleasure of peace, by realizing it by your own experience. It's just like getting married. Once you get married, you will understand what a married life is like. So try and practice, you will find out what the result of that practice is.
Jangan.
Can explain the nature of Nirvana as Sabbatukha Pamojana Nirvana. Nirvana means freedom or liberation or cessation from cessation of or liberation from all kinds of suffering. Such is the explanation given in respect of Nirvana. Cessation or liberation, cessation of suffering or liberation from all kinds of suffering. Suffering is of three kinds. Dukkha is suffering in Pali, means dukkha. And this dukkha is of three kinds. One is dukkha, dukkha, and vibhinnamma dukkha, and sankhara dukkha. Now as for the first one, dukkha, dukkha, since the two are used repeatedly, it means it connotes extreme case of suffering. The kind of suffering which happens in the body when you're sitting meditation. You feel aching, pain, excruciating feeling, which give rise to mental distress, so you feel unhappy, and you feel the suffering both physically and mentally. This is known as also titi sukha, because it is kind of vibhinnamma sukha, because when you are free from that, you feel happy. Now as for the yogis, they suffer from this physical pain and ache in the course of the practice, and when this suffering goes away, you feel happy. Hence it is known as vibhinnamma sukha. And as regards sankhara dukkha, it means it is a kind of suffering due to conditioning of things. Because things are conditioned, our mind, body are conditioned, such as hearing, seeing, tasting, touching, rising, falling, lifting, moving, placing, bending, stretching, all these things are conditioned, or they are known as conditioned phenomena. These conditioned phenomena are not permanent. They do not happen as you wish it to happen, because they are conditioned. Hence it is known as sankhara dukkha. Sankhara, conditioning, or forming, and dukkha, suffering, conditioned suffering. In the body, you are not free from these three kinds of things, dukkhas, dukkha dukkha, vibhinnamma sukha, and sankhara dukkha. Hence, all these things are called sabba dukkha, all sorts of suffering. And freedom from these all sorts of suffering, or cessation of suffering, is what is meant by Nibbana. In the text known as Patisamvidha-nigga, the discriminations, the book of discriminations, is given this expression, ubhado sankhara and ubhado nibbana. That means ubhado means conditioned things which are arising, such as seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, bending, stretching, looking, moving, gazing. It is known as process. The process of activities. The activities which flow like a current continuously. And anubhado means not happening, not arising. Not arising means cessation of this current. The cutting off this current is nibbana. Is Nibbana. So, or in another sense, it is given as Pavata, Pavata Sankara, and Abhavata Nibbana. Pavata, process or proceeding, process of seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, all the sense impressions and all activities by mind, by body, speech, and mind. All these things are happening. This is Pavata, and this Pavata Sankhara, conditioned things are proceeding, and when these things are not proceeding, non-process, Abhavata is Nibbana. Even when you are asleep, there is this inactive consciousness known as Bhavanga-citta. This is happening, this is occurring in your mind, although you are fast asleep. It's just like when a waterfall is coming down from a height, and it will go on flowing. And then when water flows, you think it's the same water there, but it's not the same water. It is the whole being based in the new. It's one thing is going away, another thing is taking its place, such as Bhavata, just like your sense impressions or activities, all the actions which occur by body, speech, and mind. And these are called sankharas, or formations, and abhavata, non-process, not happening, or stopping of this process, is known as nibbana. So, when it is not happening, the mind-body current, the current of mind-body process is not happening. When it is not happening, it is a cessation, that is nibbana. So, if it's flowing continuously, that leads to suffering. That leads to suffering and torture and heat. And if it stops flowing, then it is happiness or bliss.
ဘောဓံစင်္ခါရယသနာမျိုးဟာပို့ပြီးတော့ကောင်းတယ်ဆိုတာဉာဏ်မြင်ကြတဲ့ဘုရားရှင်ရဲ့အနေနဲ့ကတော့ခန္ဓာကိုယ်ပါတဲ့ချမ်းသာတာတကယ်ချမ်းသာလို့ထင်ပြောပြပါမယ်လို့အရိယာတွေအမြင်ကတော့ခန္ဓာကိုယ်မပါတဲ့ချမ်းသာမျိုးကတကယ်ချမ်းသာစရိစုခာလို့ဒီလိုယူဆပါတယ်။ရုံမြန်ဆက်ရင်ပဲယူဆပါတယ်တယ်ဆက်ပြီးတော့ဘုရားလက်ထက်တော်ကာလကဘုရားကြီးခေါ်ရည်ဟန်ကြီးတော်ကရှင်သာရိပုတ္တရာတရားဟောနေတော်မူလို့မိဂုံထုတ်ဖို့ပါတယ်နိဗ္ဗာန်သုခနိဗ္ဗာန်သုခနိဗ္ဗာန်ချမ်းသာတယ်နော်နိဗ္ဗာန်ချမ်းသာတယ်နော်ဆရာမလေးနိဗ္ဗာန်ချမ်းသာကိုကောင်းတတ်ပြီးတော့ဟောနေတော်မူလို့ဆုံးငယ်ငါရှင်းတယ်နိဗ္ဗာန်ချမ်းသာတယ်လို့ဆိုတယ်ခန္ဓာကိုယ်မပါဘူးလို့ဆိုရဲခန္ဓာကိုယ်မပါတဲ့အရာဟာချမ်းသာလို့ဆိုနိုင်ပါမလားတကယ်ချမ်းသာလို့ဆိုနိုင်ပါမလားဒီလိုမျိုးကလည်းကြည့်ရဖြစ်တယ်အဲခန္ဓာကိုယ်မရှိရင်ဒီပဲလေချမ်းသာပဲလို့ဖြစ်ပါတယ
်ဘုရားရှင်listen while listening to the discourse given by Elder Sariputta. Elder Sariputta was always mentioning in his talk as Nibbana Sukham, Nibbana, Nibbana Sukham, Nibbana is pleasurable, Nibbana is pleasurable. And before, at the end of this discourse, this ascetic Udayan posed this question to Elder Sariputta, Venerable Sir, you say Nibbana is pleasurable, there's no sense pleasure. It is separate or apart from sense of pleasure. There's no sense feeling in it. How can you enjoy this pleasure without senses? That was a question posed by Elder Udaya. And that Elder Sariputta replied, the absence of this sensation itself is the real pleasure. It's a kind of pleasure apart or different from sense of pleasure. Now, it has to it has to contain, or it has to involve this raga, lust, or craving. Only when there is craving involved, one will be able to enjoy sense of pleasures. If not, one will suffer. That is, one will not enjoy it, then one might suffer. For instance, if you want to eat something like a meat or fish, and you cook it with condiments, you know, putting salt, this, that, and other, seasoning powder, and you make it well seasoned, then only it will become tasty. Otherwise, you will not enjoy the taste. So you are putting in or seasoning it with something you like, that is seasoning powder or condiment, something like that. Without them, you will not be able to enjoy it. So if you are able to enjoy without seasoning, then it'll be real pleasure. So as in this connection, we'll talk about these two kinds of sukha pleasure, jasika sukha and abhyasika sukha. Pleasure with lust or craving, and pleasure without craving or lust, which we'll discuss tomorrow.